If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTradio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason, live from Donbas, Ukraine, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, and I hope you had a great weekend. Kent Clisby, an ex-CIA field officer that we've had on a few times, really, really sharp guy, has agreed to come back today. Now, he's served as a staff CIA case officer in the 90s as a contractor after 9/11. He's worked in various capacities and intelligence positions in Southeast Asia, Africa, Europe, and the Middle East. And his specialty is counterterrorism and Islamic extremism. He's also worked counterintelligence, counterproliferation, counter-narcotics. And in addition, he's done extensive liaison work with foreign intel services. And he's worked with the U.S. intel community and interagency intergovernmental intelligence operations since, again, 9/11. And he was awarded the Intelligence Community Seal Medallion, which is the highest civilian intelligence agency decoration for contractors. And he's also a great humanitarian, and he's, in between all this, did a lot of humanitarian work. Thanks for coming on, especially after the false start last time. How are you?
No problem. Good to be with you, George.
I apologize again for that. The technical difficulties were on my end in Donbas. There's a lot going on and in the news. And something that's come up, and it may or may not be something, is on your plate, we'll say. It's more policing. I've heard twice today from different people, different parts of the world, that the FBI is starting a new Russian collusion investigation. And it looks like they're going after MAGA. Anybody that they can, try to make a case against that may or may not support the Russian position or not support the Ukrainian position or not support Biden's position or different parts of Europe. Have you heard anything about this?
Maybe not recently, but I think that if you look at what's been happening since the since President Trump was elected the first time, this is what they've been building up to. What has happened, and I've written extensively about this, is that the intelligence community and federal law enforcement has been deeply politicized. It's been taken over by one political faction, and they are working as the, in effect, secret political police for one political faction. I call them the politically correct progressives. You could call them Democrat mm-hmm. Party. But from the very beginning, I mean, if you followed the whole Russia collusion scam hoax, before Obama got out of office, he and his handlers, actually, pretty much he's a figurehead, but his handlers planned out an insurance policy in case that Trump mm-hmm. should win the election. They set in place all of the plans and the actions that would culminate in what you just described, in that now anyone who is pro-Trump, call it MAGA if you will, is going to be painted as a domestic terrorist, as a seditious colluder with a foreign power. And in effect, what the goal here, it's a covert operation intended to delegitimize and to make illegal political dissent. So yeah, it's that's what has been happening, and everything there's no reason to suspect that it will stop.
Now, is it possible this time around? When I was asked about it today, I referred to the 2014 Obama executive order that made it possible to sanction U.S. citizens based on their position toward Ukraine. That was March 6, 2014. I know this is, because we're getting into an area where, it's in part, it's speculative. You're going back on, they did this historically over the last few years. How far are they willing to go? And, I realize, given the nature that it's speculative, but it's not at the same time. Do you think that it's possible that they're going to be going after these people's bank accounts, wholesale, or their employment, or,
I think you look at what has been done, what these, in effect, the American Stasi has done since the last election, 2020, their demonization of people, of the political opposition. There are people who took a stroll through the U.S. Capitol nonviolently. Of course, yeah, they're trespassing, but those people, right, their lives have been ruined. They've been in jail, solitary confinement since then. They've been hunted down. The federal law enforcement has sent SWAT teams to their houses to arrest them, nonviolent trespassers. They're in jail. They're being charged with multiple crimes that it sure seems inflated criminal charges. All kinds of sanctions, all kinds of penalties, punishments, whether judicial, non, losing jobs, losing your entire life, losing your family, losing everything, it's happening. It's happening now. So yeah, it's very clear that what's going on is they fired warning shots over the bow of the political opposition, and they're showing this is what will happen if you speak up, if you use your constitutional rights as an American to partake in the political process, and you are on the wrong side, this is what will happen to you. And cancellation of someone's life, including their bank accounts and everything else, is very, very possible, and it's happening.
Well, the guy that actually trained the FBI, he is a contractor. He's a trainer for them, for Homeland Security and such. His MO was actually to call people's banks. And this is his idea of, protecting America. Finding websites online he didn't like, finding out who the owners were, calling their banks and saying that they were colluding with terrorists or they were colluding with foreign governments, enemies, and getting the banks to close them down, getting internet providers to dump them, even calling their families and saying, so-and-so is a traitor of the country, blah, 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 and that's been going on since actually 9/11. That's where that got started.
Exactly.
And in terms of the Capitol Hill riot, if you go back, and I'm not sure of the date, if it was the late 60s or the early 70s, and if it was the Black Panthers or just another black rights group, they entered Congress with rifles.
Exactly.
And they had a right to be there. They entered the halls of Congress with rifles, and they had a right to do that and be there. And, you know, here we are today. You know, and that's the thing. Here we are today. Now, I believe they were protesting the Vietnam War, or, you know, it could have been more civil rights stuff, you know, inequity in the draft or whatever. But yeah, we've come a long way on that count. Now, pushing this a little further, we're coming up to the midterms. Right? You know, you see the Democrats pushing for civil war, for violence, but it's not really materializing yet. What do you think it's going to take to push that over the top and kick that off right now?
Well, I mean, that is all part and parcel of this demonization of the political opposition, of dissidents, if you will. It is what they are setting the stage for is not necessarily an actual civil war, not necessarily I don't believe there are actual domestic terrorists, MAGA domestic terrorists out in the in the wild waiting to kick off a civil war. What we're seeing is all of this reporting and all of the government focus and babbling about it is a continuation of the demonization of the opposition. They're saying they're disseminating. In effect, it's they're doing what they're constantly saying they're against, misinformation, disinformation. But it's actually a very, to me, it seems it's a clear covert influence campaign. It is inserting these seeds that are in the public discourse and in the public mind, that there are violent extremists just itching to start a civil war. And they just repeat that over and over and over. And then when the time comes to take action, everyone says, oh, well, we knew a civil war was coming. Of course they have to round up these people. They're MAGA. They're mega MAGA or MAGA extremists, whatever they're calling them nowadays. Or extreme MAGA, something like that. I think Biden and his spokespeople call him. But I don't think that there's a civil war brewing. I think there is an operation to make people think there's a civil war that will justify the actions that they'll take, rounding up political dissidents. That makes sense.
You know, from it does actually a lot. From my side of the pond, I see a lot of Ukrainian nationals that now these people are obviously very pro-Biden. Okay. They're relocating over to the US, to these cities. They have been since 2017. The FBI put a stop to it because these are extremely violent people. They don't fight, they murder. That's what they do. Okay. Now, Biden jacked up the immigration policy again. So these people are coming over there wholesale. It's not a matter of, okay, what can we do to stop this? Because, well, obviously right now you can't. But how, given that you have a large groups of these people there, in the context of not starting a civil war, but extreme violence, to force a response, maybe. This is a really, it's a shame to be able to even ask a question like this about America today.
Yeah, it is.
How?
Well, I mean, sorry, George, what's the question?
How likely are they are they to use something like that, backing up Antifa, to kick off something a lot more scaled than 2020 riots were? Okay, all through those
cities. I can kind of understand your concern, especially that you're in that environment now. But I think that there is no real danger, and there's no real danger, no real need for some kind of outside group to be the stormtroopers for the. For the anti-MAGA actions. What we're seeing is what we're seeing now is that federal law enforcement is gearing up to do that, and they've got plenty of they don't need volunteer stormtroopers.
They don't need the outside guns, but groups like Antifa backing them up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where my thoughts are.
Yeah, so the Antifa guys, Antifa riots and that kind of thing is just sort of the culmination of politically correct progressivism, which makes normal Americans, makes claims that normal Americans are the enemy and need to be destroyed. And that's what Antifa is the culmination of that. And now that we have a politically correct progressive regime in power, then they'll let their sans-culottes, their stormtroopers, their shock troops, which is Antifa, they give them free rein. If they're ready to riot, go for it. Yeah, step back. Hey, we kneel down, genuflect. Bow to them, let them go. And if normal Americans stand up and defend themselves, as we saw with the kid in Wisconsin, then Rivers. They will be cracked down on. And so I understand the concern, seeing Ukrainians or whoever in any other outside groups coming, but they're really not needed. There is plenty of muscle, plenty of willingness to use force against normal Americans who stand up to protect themselves without any outside groups. Will outside groups be able to integrate into that kind of structure? Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a big danger. I don't think it's going to be like a catalyst that's going to kick something off.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Kent Clisby. And this is George Eliason with TNT Talk Radio. We'll see you in a few moments.
You should hear what Jason Allborn is talking about.
On Sky News just yesterday, Paul Murray came out with a story talking about how in Australia, our children have never had higher levels of depression and anxiety in this country. And Murray was asking his guests, how is it? Never had more wealth. We're in peacetime. I don't know where he got that one from. And why is it that our kids feel this way? Well, doctor will tell you diet and exercise helps, but it's not the same for every individual, of course, is it? Because as we know, also sports people can get depressed too. And medication will not make one vital. Neither does indoctrination in schools, the bastion of forced monoculture, nor does hearing ad nauseum that the price of housing is out of reach. And that breeds hopelessness. Mum and dad spend their lives trying to pay off their house before they retire and die. How could that ever motivate anyone, any child, to believe that housing prices are astronomically going up exponentially? And I'm meant to compete. I don't know anything, and I've got to go out there and find a career and a job and rest. And it's all getting too hard. No wonder the kids feel the way they do.
Jason Allborn and Jason Q. Citizen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
News more twisted than soap operas.
Ugh.
And with worse actors.
You can't be serious.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. We have Kent Clisby today, and we're talking about a lot of the possibilities of what's going on in America, and we're going to move over onto Ukraine in a few minutes. We're talking about progressives, and a lot of people don't understand progressives the way you do. They think of activists, protesters. They think of people that care about humanitarian issues. And it's, quite frankly, very, very far from how progressives are actually defined politically. Since they pop up as a force in the 30s, they've always tended towards extremes and supporting extreme governments. Antifa in the 1930s became the Brown Shirts, became the SS, and became the Holocaust. Kent, can you talk about, define progressives as you see it right now, as a whole?
So that's a great question, George, and it really is fundamental to understanding world politics and especially U.S. politics. The progressive movement started out in the early 1900s, led by people like Teddy Roosevelt, and they had very, very much humanitarian and the good of the public as the basis of what their political movement was about. At the same time, Teddy Roosevelt also had a huge colonial expansionist kind of mentality. We got to spread this belief and this approach to life across the world. And if you got to kill a bunch of people to do it, well, that's okay. So that was the original progressives. But after the Russian Revolution in 1917, when the Bolsheviks took power, the Bolsheviks were the most active and most successful of an international socialist conspiracy. And it was definitely a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy is a group of people secretly planning actions to take actions and then setting in motion plans to implement those actions. The international socialists and exemplified by the Bolsheviks were the first international socialists to successfully overthrow a government. And when Lenin, Trotsky, and their Bolshevik co-conspirators overthrew the Russian government and took over Russia, in their mind, they're believers in Marxism, and Marx's theory was that that human evolution would, the evolution of human society would ultimately result in communism. And they called communism a dictatorship of the proletariat. And the proletariat are common people And in this rosy vision, everybody would work together, hug, sing kumbaya to each his own, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs, was their utopian vision. And they found out the Bolsheviks found out very, very quickly, Marxism was really in essence nonsense. That they found that the workers didn't want anything to do with the Marxists. Leave us alone. We just want to give us a job. We want fair pay for fair work, and we want bread, we want food, we want to be able to profit according to our own work.
That's a point that not many people make either, Kent, what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
The workers didn't want anything to do with it. It was
exactly it's really hilarious that I'm pretty deep into the study of the Bolsheviks. I've been studying them for a long time, and it's hilarious when you look at them. They're the leaders of Bolshevism and Marxism. They're all constantly were babbling about the workers. This is a workers' country. We're a workers' movement. None of them were workers. They were all pinheaded eggheads, intellectuals that sat around and gazed at their navels and argued with each other.
Exactly.
Anyway, when they discovered that here they were in charge of probably the largest country in the world, in charge of the government, and they thought that they were enacting this inexorable Marxist evolution of humanity, they realized this is total nonsense. So what we've got to, they spun it, and Lenin is the one who came up with this, and this approach became known as Marxist-Leninism, and that flavor of this, and we're going to get back to the connection to progressivism, but that flavor, Marxist-Leninism, was, okay, yes, the humankind will evolve into a communist utopia, but because the common people are so stupid or pig-headed or stubborn and don't know what's good for them, what we need is an elite vanguard who will lead the people to the utopia, quote unquote, lead. So that's Marxist-Leninism. It's yes, Marx was right, but the people are too stupid and they need us. And guess who Lenin's elite vanguard was? It was him and his buddies. So now you have the flavor of this communist socialist utopia, Marxist-Leninism. So the key is that elite vanguard. Now, to the Marxist vision is not Russia. Marxist vision is humanity. It's the world. Right. So here they've got power, and they've come up with this theory that the stupid people around the world need to be led. So their approach was, after they nailed down their power in Russia, was they were completely dedicated to turning the world into a Marxist, a communist, socialist utopia. They would have loved to have done it with military power. That would have been the easiest way, and they felt totally justified to do that. But they didn't have sufficient military power to handle just their neighbors, much less the rest of the world. So what they did is they came up with a strategy of covert influence and to lead the stupid common people, the stubborn, the foolish common people who didn't realize what was good for them, to lead them to this utopia. They put in charge of it a German by the name of Willy Munzenberg, Willie Munzenberg was a genius of influence. You hear a lot of people talk about advertising that happened about the same time that Munzenberg started his global campaign. There's American advertisers started advertising. They were actually influenced by Munzenberg's operations. So it wasn't the other way. So Munzenberg's operation was to identify, and I focused specifically on the American target for the this operation. He identified the transmission belts of culture in the United States. And what Munzenberg identified was the transmission belts of culture where the belief systems, where the love of country, where everything that came, that made up being an American came from, were the media. There was newspapers at that time, a little bit of radio, the media, education, that is kindergarten to 12th grade in the U.S., the pre-education before university, and academia, which is the university and above education, and Hollywood. So the three transmission belts of culture in America are media, education, academia, and Hollywood. Munzenberg created operations, and he specifically targeted those transmission belts, and he inserted what's in espionage, a covert influence, is called a payload. The payload is what is the belief, the fact, the whatever it is you want to insert into a dialogue, or a, in this case, the transmission belts of culture. Munzenberg created a belief system, and he didn't spell it out like this, but in my studies, I've figured out there's six points that he wanted, that his operation inserted into our culture. And the goal of this operation, remember, what they're working on is destroying the capitalist enemies so that they would become part of this global communist utopia. So to destroy American culture, he created six belief points that he then inserted into the transmission belts. And the belief system is America is a racist, sexist, homophobic, imperialist, capitalist hellhole. And plus he added onto those beliefs, I call it the action corollary, and it must be changed. Mm-hmm. That in many different operations, he inserted that belief system into our cultural transmission belts. It started in about 1920, and he did it very slowly, very surreptitiously. It was a covert influence campaign, and it was done covertly. The beauty of covert influence is that it, when done right, and Munzenberg's operational mantra was, say these things, that America is racist, sexist, homophobic, et cetera, et cetera. Say these things, say them over and over, and say nothing more. You don't mention the Soviet Union. You don't mention communism. Mm-hmm. You don't mention socialism. You make these six belief points the key to being a good person, and then then his next step was to create, today we call them AstroTurf organizations, but what they were, they were cover organizations that Munzenberg funded and created, American Teachers Against Racism,
right.
iron workers for the Scottsboro Boys or whatever. He would be, these were all fake organizations that he would create and then draw, they would draw Americans in because it sounds great. You know, wow, yeah, I'm those guys were falsely charged. We need, it's clearly racism is rampant in the United States. We need to join this. And I'm a good person if I join this. He created, he called them innocence clubs. So there's there's a plethora, a huge constellation of innocence clubs across America. And they are all noted in his operational, his operators in the media, Hollywood and academia are all picking up on it, echoing, repeating, amplifying this message. Muenzenberg believed that this operation would destroy America in, say, 5 years, in a couple years. That's the only place he was wrong. He was completely right in the way that he created the innocence clubs. He created these organizations. He was he created the belief system and inserted them. The only place he was wrong was in how long it took to destroy America. It ended up taking about 80 years, and Muenzenberg was long dead. Muenzenberg was right. was murdered by the KGB in 1940, and he actually defected. He left the Communist Party pretty soon after he started this. But the operation, the attitudes that he created, the infrastructure, the innocence clubs continue to this day. Antifa is a Muenzenberg innocence club. They are still working to this day. And his belief system, the 6 points that America is a horrible place and it must be changed, is now the belief system. I call it politically correct progressivism. And you must be a PC progressive to be a Democrat in America today. If you disagree that America is not racist, if you think America is not sexist, America is not homophobic, then you will be immediately canceled from the Democrat Party. You'll be immediately kicked out of the politically correct progressive power structure. So that's what PC progressivism is, and that's what we're dealing with in America today.
I want to make a quick point, and then we've got to take a break. Here's the thing for all the stupid, uneducated workers that wouldn't have joined the Soviet Union or the Communist Party. This was only a couple of years after they took power. That's a point that really needs to be understood. This was within a couple of years.
Yeah.
The other point is that they were such a tiny group. The whole the whole Lenin shebang group was so tiny. The only way they won is that all the workers that they were claiming to represent had gone to work, they were tired, they went home, and they didn't come out and protest against them right away. They didn't have any opposition. It's not that people
that
wanted.
Well, that was the Bolsheviks slaughtered any opposition that did stand up. They immediately began the Red Terror.
Exactly.
So does that sound familiar? suppressing the opposition, suppressing dissent. So what you got? Sorry, you got to take a break, right?
I've got to take a break. We're going to pick this up. Hold that thought. We'll pick it right up when we get back. I'm George Eliason. This is TNT Talk Radio, and we'll see you in a couple minutes.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So it turns out that if you're a stressed out coffee drinker, you're in luck. You might be helping yourself stay healthy and maybe even helping yourself live longer. I kid you not. There are two separate studies. StudyFinds.org says researchers from the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine say the immune system can actually benefit from a little stress. Although stress plays a role in a number of health issues, the study finds it may also protect the body in certain circumstances. Experiments were conducted on mice. The message is that a little bit of stress is good in your life, but you want to be stressed in the right way. I don't know what that means. The other study says drink 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day for longer life and better heart health. It was authored by the head of clinical electrophysiology research at the Baker Heart and Diabetes Research Institute in Melbourne, Australia. The results suggest that mild to moderate intake of ground, instant, and decaffeinated coffee should be considered part of a healthy lifestyle. Coffee and stress. Who knew? Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Close your eyes and think about this. Imagine taking your child to school where all the other kids have access to textbooks, paper, and pencils, but your child is only allowed to listen. Would you be okay with that? That's what it means to be blind. For every 100 books a sighted child can access, a blind child has access to less than 5. Help put the world at the fingertips of vision-impaired kids. Donate now at braillehouse.org.au.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Back to the phones. Hello, I hate your guts.
Oh, I hate you too.
What's your name?
Spit.
All right. I hate society.
TNT.
Do you enjoy listening to TNT Radio? Do you think we're doing a good job? Well, please let us know. Why not leave a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk TNT Radio. Kent, let's pick up where we left off because this is really, really interesting. And quite frankly, it's putting the right perspective on what we're looking at today. Yeah. So it's very timely.
Yeah, it's so just to give you some background is what I'm sharing here is the result of intensive research and analysis I did that resulted in a book I wrote was published. Mm-hmm. I tried to publish it before Obama was elected, but it ended up being published 10 years ago now. The name of the book is Willing Accomplices. And it lays out in detail exactly what I just described, Munzenberg's covert influence operation to destroy American culture. And he was, as I said, he was successful. And now you see, if you don't understand first what politically correct progressives are, first, second, what their belief system is, then you have no way of you don't have a foundation to critique, counter, or plan against them. And that's what's happening in America today is people who consider themselves conservatives or normal Americans don't understand the politically correct progressive belief system,
right?
Much less where it came from. So yeah, I agree that this is really fundamental to understanding and helping us get over what's happening today.
Here's a very pointed question. It's 2022. You're dropped into America today. What is American culture? What is it we're trying to protect? Can you see it?
Absolutely. The dominant culture is Munzenberg's vision. Normal America sucks. Historical America sucks. Americans are racist, sexist, homophobic, capitalist, imperialist, bigots, and it must be changed. That is what dominant American culture is. It's a self-hating, suicidal culture.
So there is no American culture, or it's been beat down so far. It's very hard to even discern it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, sort of, but there's very clear the dominant American culture is that normal America sucks. If you look back to what you think of as the historical American spirit or culture of patriotic, red, white, and blue, God bless America, proud to be an American, that has all been made negative. And it's constantly pounded. You normal Americans are bad, you're wicked, you're evil, you're racist, sexist, homophobic, imperialists, and we need to crush you. That is American culture today. That is the dominant American culture. There's still normal, historical American culture is present, but you think of it as MAGA, or that's really the mm-hmm. latest. The Tea Party was a previous
an iteration
expression yep. of it. That's normal American culture, but it has been demonized because of Muntzenberg's operation that created politically correct progressivism, and politically correct progressivism is what is the face of America. It's critical race theory that Anglo-Saxon Protestants are evil and they must be destroyed. It's worshiping the homosexual lifestyle, worshiping transvestites. If you take Muntzenberg's 6 points and flip them, and if Americans are racist, then being anti-racist is what is the only thing that can be accepted. That is politically correct progressive culture, and that is that it's our media, it's academia, it's Hollywood, and now we have a PC progressive regime in power. That's the message that's the culture that is represented in embassies around the world. It's the culture that is supporting NATO and Ukraine against Russia, and I think Putin has made some very clear. Putin understands that is American culture today. He's not the only one, but he has made very clear statements about what he thinks right. he's up against. And I think that it's very clear that is what the dominant American culture is today. Trump and MAGA are doing the best they can to fight it.
Mm-hmm. What you said about Putin, that's something that, he's made that point, and he talks about it, he is limiting social media and such to keep that America out of his country.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? I call this an ironic inversion. The country, the former Soviet Union, that created politically correct progressivism to destroy us, has the tables have turned exactly 180 degrees. The mm-hmm. Russian intelligence service that created the covert influence campaign to insert the hate America message into American culture has thrown off the communist, the international socialist yoke, and is now a proud nationalist country, and the country that they targeted, their predecessors targeted, has become in effect, although it's not really socialism, is not really part of, or communism or Marxism is not really part of the politically correct progressivism, but the country that was targeted has become exactly what the communists wanted them to become, and is now against the tables are turned, but we're still enemies. It's ironic. It's an ironic inversion.
Well, it's, you know, what was really ironic was, when Obama was still in, Putin told him, stop moving towards socialism. We tried that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, that making a statement like that, and Putin is actually conservative, but he's a Russian conservative. You know, you don't.
Yeah.
You can understand
a nationalist.
The nature of your work. He doesn't openly. He says nationalism is a sickness because Russia encompasses about 120 nationalities.
Yeah.
So there's no real. So,
how about a federal nationalist? In effect, he's proud to be a Russian. He's proud of what Russia has done, and that's what politically correct progressivism has destroyed our America's ability to say, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of what America has done. Made some mistakes along the way, but by golly, who hasn't? Show me another country that has not made mistakes like we have and has been able to develop and progress as we have. PC progressivism strips all that away and just looks at the negative and says, America sucks. Let's destroy it. And here we are.
You know, it's, you look at it from over here, everybody, you know, of course I get funny looks, you know, I'm pretty clear in terms of who I am and what I am. You know, I get asked outright, you know, what do you think of America? Well, I support Trump. You support Trump? And it's kind of funny being in the situation that they were in. Now, this is pre-2022, okay? Minsk agreements, they're trying real hard to make that work. Democrats are trying real hard to make it not work, okay? And if Donald Trump was in, none of this would have happened. Guaranteed. But they look at me like, what are you, crazy? You support Donald Trump? And I'm thinking, you know, I don't think it. I tell him, I said, if just what I told you, if Trump was in office, this would not have happened. As a matter of fact, everything would have ended peacefully a while back. And that's a fact.
Very likely. Yep.
But here we are and here we go. And there's no going back on any of this right now. We've got 4 minutes left, so let's keep this in America. We talked about the midterms a little bit last time, what we were looking forward to. Do you still see Republicans taking both the House and the Senate, or have you modified your view on that at any?
So I think what we're seeing now is you mentioned it before, the new Russian collusion investigation. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing a pretty obvious overt covert campaign to demonize and delegitimize the non-PC progressives in American in the elections, and that is pretty much the Republicans. They are doing their best to make it illegal to be a Republican. So I don't know if this operation is going to culminate in the next month, or maybe they're just they're ginning it up for the presidential election. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be something that, whether it will be before these midterms or whether it will be before the presidential election, that will they do not want normal Americans to have a say in the elections. They do not want the regime in power, and that's protected by their PC progressive secret police, does not want to lose that power in an election. And I believe this whole the whole Ukraine war that is very clearly being being stirred up constantly, including the pipeline destruction, the recent pipeline sabotage. I think that that's all part and parcel of this operation to somehow, you know, make guarantee that the Republicans lose the election, whether it's the one in a month or the one in 2 years.
And I think you're exactly right on that. Kent, thank you so much for coming by today.
Thanks, George. Great to talk to you. And take care of yourself.
Hopefully I'll have you back really soon, too.
That would be great. Happy to.
This is TNT Talk Radio. I'm Bill Joliason. Have a great afternoon.